We're back on In Focus here at News Radio KMAN 920, and we're continuing our segment here with Fort Riley officials. And in segment number two, we're going to be joined here by Mike Houck, wildlife biologist with the Fort Riley Environmental Division. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Mike is here to talk about some outdoor opportunities here that people can take part in. And maybe I should start with, first off, is Fort Riley open to visitors, and how do non-military people get access to the post?
Yes, it is open to visitors from the outside, and the first thing they need to do is before entering, they would go to the Visitor Control Center, which is located near Marshall Army Airfield. If they were coming, they would come in I-70 and take exit 301, sorry. And before they come up to the access control point, the visitor center is located over on the right side, and they would need to go in there and pick up their visitor pass that they would be required before they could enter. It's probably a good idea to visit the Fort Riley website. It's home.army.mil/Riley for more access information before they come in. They can get questions answered before.
Yeah, I've done that before. It's not a very long process. You do want to make sure you have your ID with you, though.
Yes.
All right.
Definitely.
You don't want to get turned away there. That's no fun. But as far as activities, I didn't realize this, but general public can go on to Fort Riley and take part in some of these outdoor activities.
Yes, a lot of different activities out here for the public. Popular, of course, is hunting on Fort Riley, and we do have some great hunting opportunities out here. Especially one of the most unique is probably our elk herd, free-ranging elk herd we have on Fort Riley, and that's a lottery draw through the state. And of course, military personnel and the general public can put their names in for that lottery draw to hunt on Fort Riley. Big game hunting, deer hunting is really big on Fort Riley. Also turkey hunting, and then also some of the small game, upland game birds, pheasant, quail, and we also have prairie chickens, which is kind of unique, mainly here to Kansas because we have a pretty good population. Fishing on Fort Riley. There's a lot of fishing opportunities. We have over 20 ponds and small lakes that we have stocked with fish that people can access. Even the rivers, the Kansas River and Republican River access is really good fishing. And then there's also a lot of small streams on the up in the maneuver areas that people can access that have good fish in them. But along with that, you know, hiking, people come out, hike, biking. There's a lot of people come out bird watching. And even, you know, canoeing and kayaking on the rivers, there's a good access there before you enter the Grand Avenue access control point that the city owns, the boat ramp there between the bridges that people can access and float down the Kansas River. There's also some trail riding in designated areas, which mainly would be on some of the tank trails and some other trails that are designated on our recreation maps. ATV and dirt bike riding area and training area 10 is a special designated area. We have a lot of people come out in the springtime to hunt morel mushrooms too. That's always a big draw. And then we also have some other opportunities like archery range. There's an archery range that's open off Benton School Road that people come out and hone their archery skills.
So if I wanted to come out there and most of what I would do is probably fish. If I wanted to do that or God forbid hunting, I've never hunted a day in my life, but other people do have that option. What's the process? Do you have to go register somewhere? I imagine you have to have your license on you.
Yes. So the main thing on Fort Riley, we have a Fort Riley iSportsman website, and that is our recreation website that all recreationists that come on the installation must check in with. So if you go to Fort Riley, iSportsman.net, you can go on that website. There's a register tab at the top, and you would register and you enter your information. It gives you an ID number, and you could set a password. And then once you're in there, you would there's actually a safety briefing that you take, a short briefing that would kind of goes over safety issues and also the process of the iSportsman system and getting on Fort Riley. And then you actually are receiving an iSportsman permit number from that. So that would, you would need that to, before you access for recreation, and of course your visitor's pass too.
All right. So once you've registered on iSportsman, is there anything else, that somebody needs to do?
So yeah, once you're registered on the site, before you come on the installation, there's a check-in, check-out tab. You'll hit that, and you will be able to check in each and out each day that you come onto the installation. You'll actually, during that process, you'll need to check open areas, which are the training areas, maneuver areas that are open for recreation. They may be closed for training activity or even some of our management, like when we're prescribed burning or something like that, they may be closed. Hunters will are required to go in there, like a deer hunter or a turkey hunter. They would have to take separate briefings on there to get a deer permit or a turkey permit on the iSportsman system. There's no cost to that. But that's just another step we take as far as getting information out to those hunters before they come on the installation. Another thing, if they're firearms hunting, they would have to have their firearms registered, and they do that at the visitor control center there.
Okay. Again, speaking with Mike Houck, wildlife biologist, Fort Riley Environmental Division. As far as going on to training areas, so what tips or advice would you give to folks and how they can stay safe out there?
One of the main things is just being, you know, familiar with the recreation areas and learn where the off limits areas are, the impact areas, where they have the live fire exercises. So getting out and scouting around, driving around the area, getting familiar with the roads and trails out there, because we don't have any road signs out there for people. So you really have to use your maps and get familiar with the area. There is some, you know, some of the activity, you can be in the same maneuver areas and training areas as troops sometimes, depending on what activity is going on. And so, but we do recommend, you know, stay your distance from the troops while they're training. It's actually required that recreationists must be at least 200 meters away from the troops. But of course, when I'm out there and I see some troops out in the field, I usually just, you know, go on my way and look for another area to go to, stay out of their way. But there are a few hazards out there that you might run across. So when you're out there in the field, you might be looking out for, you know, sometimes there might be metal post, or there's some C wire, which is a razor wire that could be left out in the field and can be dangerous, and some other training material out there that people just need to leave alone.
All right. And as far as the maps, most people probably just use their phone these days, but do you have like actual physical maps that people can get?
We do. But yeah, most people like to use our iSportsman maps. On the iSportsman site, we do have several maps on there, conservation map. But also probably the best tool is the interactive map on the iSportsman, because you could sit there with your phone and you could punch in your location. And it shows you exactly where you're at on that map while you're on the installation. And there's there's many layers on there. It has the, you know, the off limits areas, and even shows some of the recreation ponds and other, we have some crop fields out there for wildlife. Those are even on that map, so people can, you know, figure out where some of those are when they're hunting. We do have the paper maps are still available. We have some information stations. Usually those are located at areas, roadways that are entering the installation. There'll be a sign, a big wooden sign with a box on it, and there are paper maps still available to people.
Okay. Running short on time here, I'll go ahead and jump to our last question here, and have you tell us a little bit about the eagles on post and how people can observe an eagle's nest.
Yeah, the bald eagles have been a success story since their comeback. They were taken off the threatened endangered list years ago, and now are really become common all year round in the area. We get a lot of winter eagles along the river in the lake, but our nesting eagles, we do have several nests in the area along the rivers and around Milford Lake. We do have a nesting pair that's down by the main post cemetery, and that's the one that everybody's likes to take a look at. We do recommend that people keep their distance, you know, so that they don't disturb the eagles. But we did set up a viewing station up at the outdoor chapel above, and it's a pretty good distance from the nest. You can access that outdoor chapel by going up First Division Road before you get to Division Headquarters there. There's some signage on the road there, and you turn on a gravel road. Up there, there's a scope that's fixed on the nest, and you can see the young eaglets in there. There's two of them in there right now, and they're well developed, have their flight feathers, and probably be leaving the nest probably around the 1st of June, maybe the end of May.
How cool is that? That'd be awesome to check out. Well, Mike, appreciate the time here this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate it too.
Check that out. And if you missed any of this, we'll have it up shortly here at NewsRadioKMAN.com. Mike Houck, wildlife biologist, Fort Riley Environmental Division, our guest here. Stay tuned. We're going to talk with our guest from the Manhattan Housing Authority up next.